Okay, we're ready to start the meeting. Meeting adjourned. I just want to welcome our visitors today, and especially our new board members, John, Wayne, and Lester. Welcome. I'm going to do the invocation and then anybody who wants to join me in prayer, feel free to do so. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for this day and for this incredible place called Transylvania County in which we have chosen to live, and for the opportunity to serve on this board. We pray for wisdom in the decisions we make here tonight, that they be in the best interest of our communities. Please watch over our dedicated law enforcement, firemen, rescue personnel, and all the men and women out there putting their life on the line daily, including our military, both here and abroad. Please keep them out of harm's way. We thank you for them and for the undeserved sacrifice of your beloved Son at Calvary on our behalf. We pray all this in the name of our precious Son, Jesus.
Amen. Please stand for the Pledge of Allegiance. Attention, salute, pledge.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you.
Do we want to make an addition to the agenda?
Jamie did not think it was necessary because no action will be taken.
Okay. All right. Next is public comment. Anybody wants to have something they'd like to say? This would be a good time. No? Okay. All right. Approval of the agenda from our May meeting. Has everybody had a chance to look it over?
Move that they accept it as presented.
Do you have a second? All in favor?
Aye.
Okay. Subdivision approvals and updates.
I'm going to let Jamie do an announcement before I get into the subdivisions.
Okay.
Hi, for those of you that may not know, my name is Jamie Lauber. I'm the county manager. And I wanted to share with you, hopefully you've seen the press release, that we have a new planning director that will be starting in July. His name is Jason Stewart. Jason's coming from Louisiana County in Virginia, and he's got diverse experience in all areas of planning, so we're looking forward to having him on board with our county team. And we are also going to be trying to hire the position that was previously with Kaylin, which is the program support assistant in the office, and that we'll hopefully be hiring that one actually before Jason actually gets here in July. So he's in the process of selling his house and moving, and but he will be coming to help us conduct those interviews and make that selection. And then we also have news from Joy, that Joy decided she's going to take some other opportunities, and so she will be leaving us in 2 weeks. And I'll let her share more about that with you herself, but in the interim, we are going to have Alan McNeil, who is our budget management analyst. Alan's background includes DOT and working as a planner in Henderson County. And so he's going to help us bridge the office for a few weeks while Jason comes down and gets his feet wet with our community. And the first thing we're going to have Jason working on is merging planning, community development, and the transportation department. That's a model that's pretty common amongst counties to have the two together. And then we've also got a whole slate of projects that I know you guys are excited to start, such as the small area thing to the mountains. We have a workforce housing project that will be coming up soon. Both of those are new projects for Transylvania County, so his experience will really help us there. Another piece that commissioners are talking about right now that will impact the planning board is infrastructure development. So we had a study from 2014 that some of you may not have been aware of that had to do with water needs, and the study helped showcase the needs outside of municipal areas in our community. And so they're wanting to pick that back up and really start looking at how we can move that forward. So we've got a lot coming, and hopefully we'll be completely up and running with the new department in And so I'm expecting everything to really kick out this fall as far as moving those projects forward. And also wanted to make sure that you all had an opportunity to share with Joy how much we appreciate her service here at Cascade County. She's been here 3 years now.
Three and a half years,
and she's brought some great skills to the table. And so we're excited to see what she does with her career. Thank you, Joy. Are there any questions for me from Joy? I will be slipping out in a little bit, but I'll see.
I want to go on record saying I'm somewhat disappointed that Joy is not going to stay with us. And she's done an admirable job. She's been very professional. She's been very up to date. Helped us a lot.
And I'll go on record second in that.
Yeah, we are all very disappointed to see Joy go, but also proud of her. She's to make her own path.
Just a big hard shoes to fill.
A planning board member shared that there are some corrections that need to be made to the minutes, and so we will make those changes and bring them back to you at the next meeting.
Subdivision
updates. Since May 14th, there have been 4 family subdivisions that have taken place in Transylvania County. 5 changing of boundary lines between adjoining property owners. 3 subdivisions where the parent parcel and the newly created parcel were both greater than 10 acres. 1 recombination of previously approved lots. 1 subdivision for a cemetery. That's not common. We don't see that very often, but it is one of the exceptions.
Who is back? BACK.
It is the agency that the property is held under.
What's it mean?
BACK? Mm-hmm. It's just the name on the property record. So the subdivision owner is back. And then the surveyor combined the cemetery subdivision with a newly created lot, so with a 2-lot subdivision. So other than that, Whisper Hills has not been into the office recently, so I don't have any updates on that. I'm still waiting to get a preliminary plat from him on what the final design will be of his development. Preserve at Rock Creek, you all approved a master plan for that subdivision, and they improved the road and the road for phase 1 of their approved master plan has been approved. So 6 lots are anticipated in phase 1. Remember that if it's any less than 6 lots, they can still move forward, but it can't be any greater than 6 lots. So other than that, there are no subdivision approvals to update you on. There was one parcel that requested a road inspection, and the road did not meet the road design criteria. And one of the options that they have is to request a variance. But looking at the topography, it does not appear to be an environmental hardship, more of an economic hardship. And so we have not heard from them about whether or not they will be requesting a variance from you. And that's it. With subdivisions. You requested a change to the minutes, so we have not approved it.
Okay.
Because they're not ready to be approved if you would like that change. Okay.
You didn't approve the agenda, did we?
You did.
We did. Okay.
You did.
All right. Okay. Old business.
Noise ordinance. I was looking this over today, and there are a couple of things that I didn't think of last night. I haven't thought about it, but when we had Misty here, I'm the attorney, and she had suggestions.
Yes.
One was that the language specifically used in case law is unnecessary and too loud. Now, I think unreasonably loud is even better. But how does everybody feel about unnecessary? Maybe that's taken for granted, but do we need to put that, add that to unreasonably loud and disrupting,
in the definition section?
Right, yeah. Well, possibly, yeah.
Because
the definition of unnecessary, you think? Or just add it to Article 3, the purpose? Perhaps to Section 6? I don't know, I just wonder, since she mentioned it, she went out of her way to mention that. We haven't got it in here.
Unnecessary.
Unnecessary.
You're looking at the one that was struck out on Article 6, on page 2 of 9?
Yeah. I didn't see it there.
Unreasonably loud was moved up to the definition section.
Right.
So it was not struck out.
Okay,
it was moved.
It was moved. Okay, yeah.
It was defined to be in a similar format as other ordinances.
Could we just add unnecessary, maybe, to the first sentence of the regulations, just that it shall be unlawful for any person or persons to make, permit, continue, or cause to be made or to create any unreasonably loud, unnecessary, or loud or disturbing and unnecessary noise.
Wouldn't that make it subjective? So whose idea, and who's it necessary to, or unnecessary to?
It's on the phone. If they're breaking the rules of this ordinance, it's definitely unnecessary. But I'm just saying that Misty felt that verbiage needed to be included. Well, anybody else take it that way?
We will go to the attorney to say no for those comments.
So we can specifically ask Misty if we need to have unnecessary.
Great.
It would be interesting to try to define unnecessary. But if we can't define it, is it truly subjective, or is there an objective way that we can determine if something's unnecessary?
Yeah. Okay.
And see, that kind of goes back to what John was saying at a meeting before about, you know, crews working early in the morning and late on in the evening running a chipper all day long. Well, that's a necessary noise because it is the machinery that that is of the current use in that industry.
I don't think it's a big deal, but Misty, maybe she can tell us.
Okay. We will specifically ask about that.
Okay. And she had mentioned weather, how, like, rain and wind can affect, like, especially with the decibel, just any noise is going to be, right? Do we need to put that in or not? That's another one.
How important is it? You're not going to be out chipping wood in the rain, I know that, right?
It happens.
It happens, okay.
It happens.
Of course, I'm not going to be able to find her notes now.
Sorry.
Weather.
Anyway.
You were asking what you did, if something should be put in there about the weather?
Yes. Under, maybe,
Where are you?
Where am I? Okay. I'm in the section for noise regulations, time of day, all that, 2.1. Should weather be a consideration?
Here's 2.1. Okay.
Yeah.
That's on page 3 and 9.
Page 3 of 9, yeah.
Yeah, and determine where it's been.
And Sandy, you're saying you want to add something about the ambient weather conditions relative to carrying the noise?
Yeah, well, and also the offending noise.
I think the weather is uncontrollable, and we have no control over it, so it's like, I mean, my understanding is somebody's going to call in a complaint and in short order, fairly short order, a sheriff's deputy would come out and do the decibel reading.
When that's true.
Yeah, and so the...
So if it's an offending noise in rain and wind, it needs to
be checked. And he would probably be checking it in wind and rain. If the wind and rain happens to stop before he gets there, then there's nothing. I don't know that there's anything we can do about that.
Well, we can't do anything about the weather, period.
Right.
The wind currents will carry the sound, because there was times when the acoustic was operating, I'd hear the whistle all the way at Cedar Mountain. You know, and there's nothing anybody can do about that.
Right.
I think the weather, if the wind is blowing from where the noise is being made, it may carry it further than it. There's no wind. But so, again, what are you going to do?
I don't. I don't know that we can control that one.
It was my understanding that she talked about weather in similar to topography and having a lot of rock. It can change how noise moves, but I don't think there's. I have not seen weather in any of the ordinances we have reviewed or looked at.
I'd like to, just out of my curiosity and to kind of help me get up to speed with this a little bit more, and again, it's mostly a curiosity thing. When it talks about, like, safety or welfare of a reasonable person of ordinary firmness and sensibility and temperament, what is that?
That's really subjective.
Is
right?
That okay?
Yeah.
I mean, as I read that, I was like, that seems really subjective. And who is determining whether they're a reasonable, sensible, and
everybody looking at them won't be.
I don't know if there's
going to be a way to get away from that, because everybody has a common idea about who is reasonable and you know, cheese is not 2 or 3 degrees off plumb, you know. In other words, a reasonable person of common sense and so forth. But I don't know that you could pin that down.
Yeah. I mean, I guess my kind of question with that, now that I hear that you all were kind of, and I'm not looking to try to rechange this whole thing as much work as y'all put into it already. I'm just curious why language, the importance of language like that when it's so subjective. This is as much for my learning as, and to be more effective on things in the future.
And we talked about this.
Oh, you did?
Well, we did.
Okay.
Well, yeah, this was in the ordinance before, wasn't it?
It was.
Yeah.
And what planning board chose to do was to add temperament to it. And the reason for that is there are some people that are just very sensitive to noise and wake up at a drop of a pin, or they might be going through a mental health issue. There's all kinds of things that can be happening, but the that's going to be rare. And so the normal person, not that anyone's normal, but the people that we see on the street.
She just said we're all weird.
Yeah.
She probably ran.
But it's a way of, because there are going to be sensitive people that people standing next to them would say, "You think this is noisy?
Right.
This seems completely normal to me." But if there's one person who has a different sense of what is really loud and obnoxious, that is one reason it helps to have some quantitative measurement, so okay. that it's less subjective.
Right.
Is that person of normal sensibilities, or is that person just very angry with their neighbor?
I mean, I guess that's my, because it sounds to me like this is all based off of decibel readings and time.
It is.
And if that's the case, regardless of how sensible or unsensible we think they are, it's either above or below the decibel reading. Is that correct? At that time?
That's just one aspect of it, yeah. Time is a critical factor, too. When the noise is occurring.
Right, yeah, the decibel level at a certain time.
And how long it's going on,
right?
Mm-hmm.
All that sort of stuff. You have to have that in there. If we were to get to the situation of having get into court, then you've got to have objective things like that to have any hope to sustain it.
Okay, that helps me to
a suit or anything to being able to defend it.
Okay.
Right, I mean, that's what the attorney said. That's mm-hmm. That sounds reasonable to me, because subjective language is very hard to defend in the court of law.
And one of the things that Chief Harris shared when he was presenting is that a lot of noise complaints are addressed just based on talking with the two people. And so ordinary sensibilities and temperament, talking to them with a law enforcement officer or a moderator can bring someone of normal sensibilities and temperament down to say, okay, thank you. The noise has been addressed, or someone will reduce their music volume down if they understand that it's hurting someone else. But if there is a conflict that is not just about the noise, then that is where it gets escalated, and they can't just do it with a verbal warning. And so while it is subjective, it gets to that issue a little bit.
I've got a question.
Yes.
I went back to January reading the minutes, and I know on several occasions it got discussed, it's been about a 2-hour maximum on the weekends between 6 a.m. and 9 p.m. for running fire equipment. I don't understand. I don't understand the purpose of it. I mean, it's very restrictive. Some people work during the week.
Yeah.
On time, I can't mow my yard, weed eat, and blow the driveway off in 2 hours.
But we're allowed weekend
for 2 hours.
No, I don't think that's right.
That's what it says.
And then the minutes are incorrect. We're not limiting to that.
3.7.
It's in the
3.7.
Yeah.
It wasn't for just 2 hours.
Look at him.
Yeah, it was.
Look right there.
3.7 on
page 4. Used for a period not to exceed 2 hours between 6 a.m. and 9 p.m. on the weekend. All right.
Well, you don't use the same equipment for.
Oh, I thought you meant we were saying you have to use it between like 6 and 8.
Maybe that's
unreasonable. I don't know. We talked about it, but why did you decide to leave that in? No.
Did we ask for that to be put in there?
That is my recollection.
Well, I would say I cannot support it if it's left in there.
Okay.
And then a couple other things I have to
before we go too far down the line, is there an appropriate amount of time? Or let me ask this, if someone says that
all that is somebody trying to run somebody off the line.
Please, can I finish, please? If someone says, I'm going to turn my lawnmower on at 7 a.m. and keep it running until 9 p.m., are we saying that's okay? Because if we don't have any sort of, you know, that, I think that's what, I don't think 2 hours is reasonable, but there was a thought that anyone in your yard can kind of create noise equipment all weekend long, no restriction, and then a neighbor can't say, this guy's had his lawnmower on for 12 hours, and he does it every weekend, and there's nothing, no defense for that guy. I think that was sort of the question that we're trying to address with this. So I would ask everyone in the council, if we remove it completely, that would open a door for someone to do that. Obviously, that's an unreasonable thing to happen, but, you know, we are talking about people who may not have normal temperament in here. So it's kind of like, is there a middle ground in this?
Some of our thinking, too, was driven here. We were thinking about more like in a subdivision where houses are close together and that sort of thing versus out in the country. Out in the country, it runs all day. It's kind of a so what where the houses are
spread
out.
There was a reason we came up with that, and I'm trying to.
But wouldn't that be covered in restrictive covenants, Kenzie?
I'm sorry.
Wouldn't that be covered in the restrictive covenants in these
sides? Also, it could be. Very well could be.
So there was a discussion about the treating everyone equal, whether they worked on the weekends or the weekdays, and I think the 2 hour maximum was a way of trying to realize that there are people that are going to need to run their equipment for on the weekend, because that's when they have time off versus a weekday. But if you're saying 2 hours isn't long enough, and you're saying that we need some time frame,
I'm asking the question. I'm not trying to say. I'm just asking. I mean, it may be the view of the board that we don't need it. I'm just asking.
And then we have the situation of the tree trimming, and like Bob said several times, they may run that chipper several hours
continuously,
weekend or not.
But you see, but this is an exempted noise. The following noises are exempt from this ordinance. Noise from lawnmowers, trimmers, and edging machines properly equipped and used for a period not to exceed 2 hours from 6 to 9. That's exempt.
It's exempt for 2 hours.
Yeah, that's what it says.
I know that we seriously discussed that at one time, and we were round and around about that, but there was a reason, Joy, that we put that in there, and the light's not coming on right now, but I know that there was a reason we put that in there.
I kind of agree with Rick. I'm thinking about when I lived in a subdivision and I had to mow my lawn and all that stuff on the weekend. I didn't get it done in 2 hours normally. But I had to edge, had to run the lawnmower. I didn't really. Sometimes I blew the grass, sometimes I just swept it, that sort of thing. And I didn't have a big lawn either, you know, that I was dealing with. I had all the instructions I had to get around. But 2 hours is kind of short.
If you read that 3.7 and just leave out the underlined session or section for a period not to exceed 2 hours. Just to strike that part. In other words, lawnmowers, trimmers, and edging machines are exempt when they're operated between 6 and 9 p.m. on the weekend.
That's fine. I think that's very acceptable.
Yeah.
Does it only need to be on the weekend, or does it need to revert back to what it was, what it is currently? That it's they're exempt between 6 a.m. and 9 p.m., period.
depends on how hot it is and what time sunrise is, for folks to get out and get started before they leave script.
How long do you go like on occasion to get home? Of course, after 2 weeks, maybe if you don't work, get home Friday or something, go out more work.
Okay. So, is it only exempt on the weekend? Or should we just revert it back to what it is currently?
Well, it was dealing with subdivision situations.
Right, I remember that part of it.
But if we just leave that out and they can run any of that equipment properly equipped. Now, see, that's an important component.
Right.
They're running straight pipes on something. Now, that's a whole different ballgame. Okay. But if it's properly equipped, it's exempt between 6 a.m. and 9 p.m.
Period.
Yeah.
Whether it's during the week or the weekend.
That's what I would think.
Yeah.
Okay.
Wait,
what do you think?
Yeah, I'm fine with that. I just would urge people to consider both sides of the coin. And I think that's the problem is we focus so much on the poor guy who's trying to cut his grass. I also think we have a responsibility to think about the poor guy who at 6 a.m. worked a night shift until 4, and his neighbor goes out there and starts cutting his grass at 6. Does he get any protection? I think the view now is no. I mean, we're saying no. He does not. And I just wanted, I think part of this was a response to that question. You know, do we want to give any kind of parameter or not? I don't know the answer. I'm just saying that's, I think that's how this originally got started, was because, you know, a lot of people would argue 6 a.m. is pretty early to start cutting grass. Some people, like me, I wake up at 5. I'd be totally happy to go cut my grass. But I'm not going to ever do that because I have neighbors who, you know, have kids who may not do that.
Sure,
probably. And it's not neighborly. And I would, right. As we talked about so many times before, hopefully many of these things are just a neighborly conversation. But
you made a point right there, neighborly. People need to communicate with their neighbors.
Completely.
And
but if that, for some reason, breaks down, it doesn't happen.
We can't legislate all of that.
No, we can't. I'm just asking, there's two parties involved. That's all I'm saying. And I know that if I had woken up at 6 because my neighbor decided to, you know, blow leaves off his driveway, that's not what I would consider neighborly either. So it's just two sides of the question. And right now we're saying if we strike this from 6 to 9, my neighbor could, if he's being unreasonable, leaf blow that entire line. And that would drive anyone in this room crazy.
Well, but if you know, 6 a.m. to 9, leave the 2 hours, and he'd start at 6 and go to 8.
Yeah. I mean, he could do.
Yeah.
I mean, that's where
he starts at 7 and go to 9, you know.
Yeah.
Yeah, but see, the damage is already done.
The damage is already done. The neighbors come. By the time you get a car out there, depending on because they're going to prioritize the noise call with whatever else they got going on.
And I know we had talked about.
And they may not get there for some point in time.
I know we had talked about it was 6 too early or not, but.
Yeah, I'm a little uncomfortable with the 6. I got to admit that.
City of Brevard does 7. City of Brevard does 7. 7 a.m. to 9 p.m.
But the reason we went with 6 was to accommodate people out in the country as opposed to those in suburbs.
Yeah, I know. That was a discussion.
Yeah.
But,
yeah.
We went with 6 because that's what the current ordinance has.
As what?
That is what the current ordinance
as 6
has. Mm-hmm.
Theoretically, my yard man defies his ordinance every time he comes to work at the house because he comes really early. He wakes us up. It's
I mean, I read through this, but I obviously didn't read through it enough times to have it all memorized. I mean, isn't there something in here outside of this exempted notes that pertains to like lawn mowing somewhere else, or is there not?
I thought there was too, and I'm having trouble.
And that's what I'm wondering, if those two are contradicting each other or not in some way.
I don't think so.
These are the only exempt sections, correct?
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Okay. See, I remember we discussed farming operations as being 100%
exempt. Yeah, that's totally exempt.
They're not. They're exempt. Although most farmers are not going to be out at midnight working on their fields.
So, if these are the only exemptions, and this is only saying 6 to 9, there we don't address lawn mowing, weed eaters, or edging machines during the week at any point?
For weekends.
Yeah, we do.
Unless it's a commercial service, which would be covered under 3.2, it's not addressed.
Okay. So someone being paid to do it
would be a commercial service.
Regardless of the size of that business or whatever it is commercial service. So that covers that. Outside of that, as a homeowner, if my lawnmower is equipped properly, I could be told on a Wednesday at 5 o'clock in the afternoon that I can stop mowing my yard.
No.
Because it says on the weekend.
Because this says on the weekend. So my neighbor could complain I'm trying to eat supper, and the sheriff would come over, and if my lawnmower is louder than that on a Wednesday afternoon at 5 o'clock in the evening, they could find me. Sorry. Because it says weekends.
Hopefully, the first time they would use officer advice and say, man, you need to shut that thing off.
Right, but then, you're
right.
I mean, the whole point of doing this is, and talking about it, is, I mean, like, you know, if we're going to ignore the rules that are in here, why are we having it?
I'm studying about where you're coming with 5 p.m.
Yeah, can you show us that?
Yeah, 5 p.m.
I would say any time, because there's nothing to exempt me to be able to mow my yard. The only exemption for me to mow my yard is during on the weekend.
Well, but I think
up
until 9 until 6 a.m.
But that's only referring to commercial services.
Because we added on the weekend.
Yeah.
No, I'm sorry.
3.7
says on the weekend, which means now, unless you're getting paid to do it, you,
right,
unless your wife's going to have to start paying you to mow your yard if you want to do it during the week.
Oh, that's your Miranda. So
there you go.
I'll get out there.
I might give you $5. Now I'm commercial. I personally, from the way I'm understanding it and seeing it, is that on the weekend needs to be scratched and the 2-hour time frame. I understand what you're saying of some person, you know, being unreasonable and unsensible and cranking their lawnmower and letting it run for 12 hours, but I think that's where some of this language of a sensible and reasonable person, you know, that goes to the person making the complaint and the person violating it, you know, that I think the judge is then going to look at that person and say, there is no sensible reason for you to just let your lawnmower sit there and run.
I think
while you're in the house watching TV.
I think the way we got to this, the way it's written now, is that we assumed on the weekdays it was okay, but on the weekend we wanted to have some protection because people tend to sleep later or do other things. They don't want to have too much noise on early in the day. I think that's how we got to that. And,
yep.
Yeah,
that's my recollection as well.
We were trying to say, okay, work days, go at it, but on the weekend, let's cool it a little bit.
And I agree, but I don't think this says that. That's what it's the opposite. It says the opposite. It's saying you are not exempt to work on the weekend. On the weekday, I'm sorry. It says that basically we're giving more power to the weekend than we are to the weekday.
And a lot of that was because of people's work schedules. So, Joy, how does that?
I think it should be scratched and go back to what it was originally.
Yeah. Eliminate the 2-hour and eliminate that on the weekend.
When you get back into section 2.2.5, we're talking about
the time. That's what I was looking at. So
that kind of covers that. So the violation of the law office might more than on the noise levels between the hours of 9 p.m. and 6 a.m. That's at night. Or 20 decibels between 6 and 9. And it doesn't define
what that noise is. I think in our regular ordinance, we don't care what the source of the noise as long as it's not over these decibel levels. And I totally see what you're saying with the exemptions, but there's nowhere where we're saying you can't run a lawnmower during the week until 9 p.m., and then if you do, it better be quiet.
It's
but it is confusing with the
exemptions. He's talking about that over the ambient level,
right?
Which you take a level ambient level reading, and then because that noise over that level.
And see, that would take care of the guy that's just sitting, letting the lawnmower sit out there and run while he's inside having a cool one. You know?
Of course, 30-60 the block will do that too.
I bet the police and the sheriff don't get many calls for lawnmowers.
I kind of think that.
You know, I mean, it's barking dogs and fights, arguments between neighbors, remember?
And what we were trying to say in that 2 and 3-7 was that weekends are a little different, and we wanted to be sure that that was defined. I can see.
But maybe we.
It's good we have two sets of fresh eyes with you.
Yeah.
Yes.
If I can just, you know, in other jurisdictions that I'm familiar with in the ordinance, usually all lawn maintenance equipment is exempt across the board, regardless of decimal level, as long as it's operated under the manufacturer warranty. So the manufacturer warranty, it's going to be underneath the 65 decibel level in most cases, and that is that rule, and then you're not telling neighbors when and when they can't do their lawn maintenance, as everyone has conflicting schedules. Some people work night shifts, some people work day shifts, some people work on the weekends, some people work on the weekdays. That's why in other areas, when telling someone when they can and can't maintain their property, jurisdictions have run into trouble.
Yeah.
So you're talking about, in other words, that would take care of operating the equipment according to properly equipped and so forth.
Yeah, so I'll read one for you. Noise associated with or resulting from the operation of any construction, commercial, industrial, or agricultural activities, or operated except as electronically amplified sounds and acts as prohibited. So as long as those sounds are not, that's one example, as long as the sounds are not amplified, they're permitted. In other cases, I've seen language that dictates as long as they're being operated underneath the manufacturer's warranty.
But they're still the parameters of the hours, though, right?
No, they're exempt in all hours. That's how I've seen it. I mean, some jurisdictions do limit from dawn till dusk. Henderson County, where I came from, there was no time limit. You could operate any lawn maintenance equipment at any time, permitted that it met the that it operated inside the manufacturing limits, so you didn't amplify the noise in any way. Putting something on a muffler, for example.
Again, I go back to, we were thinking about two different situations. We were thinking about subdivisions when we did this, and the rest of it was just.
But
if you're in a subdivision where the lots are 100 to 110 feet wide and 100 feet deep, which is very common in a state I'm somewhat familiar with, to even somebody starting at 6 o'clock, you'd want to throw rocks at it.
On the weekend,
during the work week, everybody's up going.
Right.
But on the weekend, somebody out there at 6 o'clock cranking a lawnmower will not be appreciated in a subdivision.
If I also may interject, subdivision ordinance is a responsibility among community members. In other legal restraints, a jurisdiction doesn't technically have the authority to restrict a person's use of lawn maintenance equipment based on the proximity between homes. If that is a concern, it's a community concern, and the establishment of a subdivision ordinance is simple underneath North Carolina General Statute. So it's amongst the community members establishing a homeowners association, even if no fees involved, and then determining that they would establish their own sort of right. noise ordinance that supersedes a county's.
Okay. And I tend to think simpler is better. And I think we're trying to add a whole lot of language to cover a whole lot of things to take into consideration if you live in a subdivision, if you only have a 100-foot wide lot versus if you live out in the rural area. And I mean, I think the simpler we can make it, the better.
Unfortunately, we do have subdivisions like Topsworth.
But they have right. homeowners regulations.
That is their and
many others.
Yeah. Coniston, Sherwood. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, but that's their responsibility. If they want to heighten those within those subdivisions, they certainly can.
Mm-hmm. And they, I think, Topsworth and Coniston both have things in their prescription covenants about things like that, from what I remember to do.
So how would that read then, Sandy?
We could
start with
3.7? Yeah.
Well, it sounds like we strike everything for the time period, the weekend, and the hours, and says all lawn equipment's exempt. I mean, that's basically what we're getting down to.
And get rid of a period not to exceed 2 hours as well?
Everything.
So
it should read noise from lawnmowers, weed trimmers, edging machines, or other similar small engine yard maintenance equipment properly equipped according to manufacturer's specs. And that's
period.
It.
Period.
It's exempt. Everything's exempt. And then.
And used between 6 and 9?
No hours.
There's no hours.
We're saying that there's not an hour restriction at all.
In my experience, you're much more likely to run into a scenario that a citizen takes advantage of an ordinance in a personal conflict with a neighbor, as opposed to a citizen takes advantage of the ordinance as there is an actual reason to take advantage of the ordinance. If you understand what I'm saying, it's yeah. more than likely that there's going to be a personal issue between two neighbors, and one neighbor mows his lawn after or on the weekday because that's when he has time to, and the neighbor with the personal issue used that ordinance against them, as opposed to someone actually complains that someone's mowing their lawn and takes Wednesday at 5 o'clock.
You're right about that.
And if, we go, with, if we go with that and then go back to 2.5. Then if it becomes a situation where an officer is called, then they'll rely on the decibels.
Right.
I'm good with that.
Right.
Anybody else?
Can I get another turn?
Sure.
We can't have two.
So is your comment, Rick, before we get to section 4? You said you wanted to have another turn.
Yes.
On 3.7?
It would actually work out probably being 3.10, 3.11.
Ooh, okay. Let's hear.
I doubt it's going to fly with y'all, but I'm going to mention it anyway.
Where is 3.10?
They're not.
There.
It's not
there.
Yeah. They're not.
It's okay.
Okay. Let's
have some conversations with the sheriff and the chief deputy. Target shooting is not exempt. Neither is lawful hunting in accordance with the regulations of the Wildlife Resources Commission.
I was going to ask the same question on that. You know, waterfowl hunting, dove hunting can be a lot of shooting. You know,
April 1st to August the 15th, dog training is closed on the game land, so you have field trials on private land all up and down Prince Broad River. They're being conducted under permit and legally and lawfully. You have people at a residence target shooting safely in a manner on their own property they have permission to be on.
Mm-hmm.
It's not a continuous thing, even though it may go on for a period of time. It's not continuous.
And that dove hunting doesn't start before 6 a.m., does it?
Well, dove hunting, the opening day of dove, usually 1/2 hour before sunrise to 1/2 hour after sunset after the opening day,
right,
is what legal hunting hours are.
And another thing we mentioned was emergency generators.
Excuse me.
Another thing we had mentioned was the operation of emergency generators at any time during disasters and power outages.
Yes.
Should be totally exempt because that's a necessity.
Whose law would get, I mean, whose law would trump what? Our Transylvania County noise ordinance law or the North Carolina Wildlife Resource Commission law?
I think you go into front of state Supreme Court before it's over with. Because I think most hunters or people that are really into it, they're going to say not guilty and appeal every chance they get.
But now, Rick, is that really, now I'm just asking, is that such a big concern or a deal that we really even need to deal with?
When I left doing what dies next for a living and got into dealing with convicts, my phone message answer machine was what we had then, and it would be filled up people eat by raising cane by hunting dogs, running field trials. And you go see the people, and they would live on one side of the valley on a half an acre. And whatever club would have a permit to be on the other side of the valley. I'm from the Prince Robert River Valley. Yeah. And they're fussing about the dogs miles away because it carries.
Because of what?
It carries. The sound carries.
Well, yeah, it does, sure.
But would that be covered under 2.1G? The noise is related to an event that obtained a valid permit.
Okay, what about the person target shooting at their house?
I'm hearing this, and we just had a conversation about being too overly restrictive and then we're going to start, I mean, I guess how many exemptions are we going to try to put in? It's the same argument. Again, let's look at the other side of the coin. If we're going to try to list every possible exemption, then does that make sense? I mean, I guess this might be a question we need to go back before the sheriff and say, how many kind of complaints do you get about these things? Do we really need to be concerned about it? Or, you know, are we just getting to where we're whittling away, you know?
Yeah, I agree. I mean,
I would relate to even in the conversation with the sheriff yesterday when I told him neither one of those were under the exempted list. His first comment was, they should be.
Okay. Well, if we can hear that, that'd be great. Yeah. Now we have what else is it? I'm sorry?
Is me relaying it not good enough for you? Because I asked him if it was all right for the board.
It's not me and you. No, that's I would love to hear it from the sheriff.
Let me ask this question. Is there some kind of blanket statement we can put in here to exempt? And I guess I'm going to use some ordinary.
Other jurisdictions, it says something to the extent of the lawful use of firearms for personal and recreational reasons. Well, there would be an hour limitation, but that's generally the language that you'll find in a noise ordinance concerning a firearm. The lawful use of a firearm for recreational purposes.
Is exempted.
Is when there's an exemption for the use of a firearm for, as it was stated, shooting on your property.
As long as I'm on my property. Yeah, see, you hunt coons at night, so that's people going to be shooting at night. Mm-hmm. I like that verbiage.
But a single, you know,
where I live, the lots, most of them are big and one, but there's a guy that lives off that way. Don't ask me which direction it is, but it's off that way, and frequently he's obviously a target shooting. I could care less. One of my neighbors mentioned it to me, and I said, "Yeah, I hear." He said, "Well, that bothers you." I said, "No, does my shooting bother you?"
So 3.10, lawful use of firearms for recreational purposes.
Yeah, say that. Say that again.
Again, it varies, but it's generally for the use of firearms is exempt. For lawful purpose, for lawful recreational purposes, something in that. I would have Misty clarify that, but it's in that ballpark.
I think in that same one, in that 3.10, some way in the language you could put in there, lawful hunting is, you know, I mean, that there's already regulations for that. Yeah, we don't need.
That fall under regulation.
Yeah, but that doesn't cover the dogs. You just mentioned coon hunting. That doesn't cover the dogs running a coon at 12 o'clock at night.
Right.
you know, that's the only reason I say the hunting, because it, we're covered the firearms, but not all the aspects of it. If the law permits, is it okay to use hounds? Then, you know, North Carolina law says it's okay. Why?
If you say something to the extent of noise, generally except the noise associated with lawful hunting, game and game regulated hunting. So anything that's regulated by the state of North Carolina according to the lawful hunting practice, within the any noise associated with it that is acceptable would be allowed according to your ordinance. But again, I think Misty should probably look that up, and there are examples that I'm sure you could pull from.
Alright, perfect.
That takes care of that.
So we won't mention it. It's just like use of firearms for game related hunting? Or
recreational?
Use of firearms for lawful recreational purposes and any noise related to hunting under
lawful. Can you say lawful taking of wildlife resources? Because taking is a broad term that covers all of that.
What is it? Taking. That could be by gun or anything.
And any noise associated with taking wildlife resources?
Mm-hmm. That'd be my recommendation.
Okay. So, 3.10, lawful use of firearms for recreational purposes and noise associated with taking any wildlife resources. Last month, you all looked at Section 4, Noises Prohibited, and I said I would do some wordsmithing to look at that introduction sentence so that it was clear that the following list of prohibited uses is not exclusive. So I wanted to draw your attention specifically to Section 4 to see if the noise is prohibited, that very first sentence under Section 4, to see if that met your needs.
So
I'm sorry, go ahead.
I was just going to ask, so we're talking about the exclusive part shall not be deemed exclusive. Is that what we're questioning?
The whole introduction of noises prohibited. The following list of prohibited noises shall not be deemed to be exclusive, and other sources of unreasonably loud and disturbing noise are subject to the provisions of this ordinance.
See, that makes me wonder whether we even need to worry about the noise off emergency generators. I mean, people are going to run emergency generators whether their neighbors like it or not. I mean, if you got $500 of meat in the freezer, you're not going to let it go bad. You know, I mean, that's going to happen.
We don't have that in here now. So.
To me, that's not an unreasonable noise.
No, it's like...
I mean, it's not unreasonable for a person to protect their resources in an extended power outage. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I guess they have to be outside. The
I would hope
outside.
They'd run it outside. Otherwise,
you
see it
sending
EMS
for
carbon monoxide. Bring you their food,
yeah.
Always ended up somebody did in a hurricane.
Oh, no. Used to be those heaters.
And Troy, you looked at 4.3. That was highlighted gray, where we added some stuff, wasn't it?
And where you left off in April.
Okay.
Yes. You did add stuff to that at the last meeting. But it It was also a location.
Oh, yeah, point. Because that provided the animals are not associated with farming operations. I remember coming up with that because people use donkeys in their livestock fields.
Right.
I think this addresses the animals that are tied all day outside, right? This is what we're talking about, the dogs. Yeah. And that's a common complaint.
Okay.
Should we try to get to the rest of it tonight?
Yes. Yeah, let's try. All right. It helps to look at it in totality and not singular one piece at a time. So thank you for taking the time to review this again.
Okay, we're okay with the new 4.4. Do we get that far? April?
I believe you did. Because you had May as well. Yeah.
Okay. Article 6.
Sandy, this follows what the Sheriff's Department and even the Chief was saying about first confronting the people in a civil manner, trying to deal with a situation verbally.
Right.
And without having to go the route of a citation or an arrest or something like that. Six looks good to me.
Okay. Anyone have anything with Article 6? Or the permit procedure?
Real quick, if I can just point out, I'm sorry, I didn't have time to review as thoroughly. Article 5, Section 7, the application subdivision submission and fee, as it's currently stated, I understand that they have to submit an application for review at least 20 calendar days prior to the scheduled event. And currently, in the prior section, it still mandates that any commercial use that violates the noise restrictions, this would be applicable to. That could be an issue with some of your local, landscaping companies that don't keep a schedule outside of 20 days. So any time that they're approached to do any landscaping on a short notice basis, that would conflict with their business.
Can you tell me where you were again? I was trying to find it. And
Section 7, application, submission, and fee. Complete permit
page
application
six.
Shall be... Excuse me?
Page 6.
Yeah, sorry. A complete permit application shall be submitted to an enforcement officer for review at least 20 calendar days prior to the schedule of an event. As I understand it, that is subject to Section 3.2, commercial service and industrial operations. So anytime that you're paying someone to do your landscape work for you, they need to schedule that 20 days in advance. So if you were to contact a landscaping company, as soon as you didn't have any work done, is 20 days. Is that understood?
I do not see that.
I don't see that tie between those two. No.
I don't either.
Because a landscaping company is not going to get a permit.
We're not saying, so 3.2 says it's an exempted noise. It doesn't say it's required a permit.
Okay.
So I think what you're reading in Section 7 is anything that is not in the exemptions, but we're going to make an exemption because of a permit.
Sorry, where I may have been getting confused is commercial services and industrial operation from 6 a.m. to 9 p.m. on weekdays and 8 a.m. to 9 p.m. on weekdays for which applicable permit, weekends for which applicable permits have been issued. Or operation not requiring permits due to ownership. Sorry, I apologize. When we were talking earlier about landscaping and how that superseded landscaping, I was under the impression that you needed an application.
No.
Okay.
This is for those one. The Sheriff's Department asked that we put in a procedure for a permit for a one-time event. And trying to craft something for those fundraisers where they bring in a band and they know they're going to exceed the noise level, but they get a permit to do so one time on one parcel once a year.
Once a year.
Okay.
That was the intent of this. If that is not clear, then we need to look at that.
That's what we said we were trying to do. Exactly as you put it.
Yeah.
Can you remind me why we were limiting it to once a year?
What did you say? Why we were limiting the permit to once a year per a...
Per parcel?
Per person.
But that's not in there.
Yeah, it's not in there. That was just in my head.
Okay.
Sorry.
There's something somewhere about once a year. I did read.
I know. I
one time event annually on a specific parcel of land. The big.
I mean, I guess. This is a bad example. To say at a re-range, they do something every twice a year. They do Birmingham or something, and they need a permit, and they do it twice a year. I mean, we're saying that you can't do that.
We're the same reason there was that 2-hour limit.
Yeah.
There was a annual use of that single parcel. If it needs to be to allow the one time event every 90 days.
My only point there is weddings, which are becoming a more and more popular event in this area. Held much more often than once a year on a single parcel.
Yes.
And have music and entertainment.
Music and entertainment. Oh, yeah.
Ordinances, so that could very well be a problem with this.
Mm-hmm.
So is the permit applied for not by necessarily the parcel owner, but whoever's doing the event? So I...
But in this case, it limits the parcel.
It definitely...
So it can't think of a good example, I apologize, but no matter who's doing the wedding, if it's done on the property, by applying for the permit once, you limit the number of times you can exceed that noise ordinance on that parcel.
You said there are some things happening repetitively on
weddings have been,
wedding venue.
There's many parcels in the county where multiple wedding events or
like the barn out on Patrick Road,
commercial application or house or...
I'm sorry.
Is it a commercial location or is it residential?
It could be any number. I mean, I know that there's receptions at residential facilities that are large enough to accommodate them.
They've got a lot of dollars to marry them all.
Or they just rent the property.
Yeah,
commercial doesn't apply to it because a lot of times those weddings go after 9 p.m.
Right.
So commercial doesn't cover. I mean, a lot of times it would be commercial, but... I think a lot of weddings need to go after nine.
Yeah, you're right.
May obtain a permit to allow a specific event, period? Or do we limit it to a parcel of land? Are there limits that you want to put on that?
do we actually limit the parcel of land?
It does. Section 5 on page 5. Special events that anticipate producing loud noise that could be considered disturbing may obtain a permit to allow a one-time event annually on a specific parcel of land.
Maybe that's too restrictive.
I mean, I think that is too restrictive. I would also advocate for the other side of the coin, which is if you happen to live next to that person, they get a permit every single day. You know, so, I mean, that's also a matter of common sense, but...
Someone has to issue that permit.
Yeah,
I mean, that's
the
thing.
The sheriff's department has to consider it to be reasonable.
Right.
And issue it.
Yeah, if they're issuing a permit every single day, they may be like, but of course, under this provision, they have no recourse. They can't deny the permit for that reason.
So maybe obtain
a permit.
May obtain a permit, period.
Well, the reason I think we put the one-time event is because we already know it's going to be in excess of all of the noise ordinance. And in order to limit that, we allowed it one time. I think that was why we did it.
What's your name?
Alan.
Okay, Alan, what Alan is saying, and I hadn't thought about that, there are places that have weddings.
Every day?
Every now and then, yeah. Maybe not every day, but maybe two or three times a month.
You've got Oscar Blues.
With a band, with hooping and hollering and vibing and all that.
Your big thing is
you live next door to one of those.
And it lasts after 9 p.m. So regardless of if the sound exceeds what is reasonable, if there's...
If it's more, if it's higher than 65 decibels
after 9 p.m., which is really common among wedding receptions.
Oh, yeah.
Because I'll give you a good example. Creekside Market, every Saturday night, has their music out there from 6 to 10, because 10 is the cutoff period for that. I mean, I live up on Ridge Mountain Road and I can hear them, but it's not, you know, I know at 10 o'clock it's gone. And she's good about shutting it down. But this permit procedure here, this was supposed, I think this was supposed to not be for the small events, but for really big,
kind of big concert,
blowout,
the mass gathering. Yes.
If I could say, other jurisdictions use a body count for events like that. So when I'm most familiar with Henderson County, we place limitations on the attendees. So I think it was at 250 attendees. It became a different classification as the period between times that you could host an event to violate the noise ordinance.
But is that not getting, again, like we were talking a little while ago, a little bit too restrictive?
Okay.
You probably get some people that go to something like that who try to find it.
Yeah.
Crush it.
But he gets south to know who's going to know. I believe it's all right like it is on the one-time event, but that's just one opinion.
So scratch annually? Or...
The whole time I'm reading it, and correct me if I'm wrong, but it is, I mean, you know, I feel like we're... it's a one-time event. I'm going to have a wedding. You're granting me this one event for March the 15th.
Right.
Now I'm going to come in, and another event is going to be on July the 22nd. That's another event.
But it's on the same parcel of land.
That's where it...
But it's if annually, you can only have it on the...
It's on the same parcel of land, it's set only once a year.
I only had that one event on May 15th, one time on that one parcel of land. This is a completely different event on that same parcel of land, but it's a different event.
And this, but another thing, John, that's not been brought up, that's really important for the community, to the music center, would technically fall underneath this ordinance. So, it wouldn't?
As of our jurisdiction.
It is? Okay.
Yeah.
I want to make sure I didn't know.
The boundary of the music center goes into the ETJ.
Okay. Okay.
So it does go outside of the city of Brevard's city limits.
But it's inside the EU.
But it's within a mile of their city limits, and it's...
Okay. I just wanted to make sure that all their events last beyond 9 o'clock.
Yeah.
So that's under the city ordinance?
Okay.
What if we said may attain a permit to allow a one-time event annually held on a specific parcel of land? Just so it's clear that the event is held once on the land. You can't have the same event 9 times on the same land, but you can have multiple events.
And that example you classify it as like the McAllister wedding as opposed to the Smith wedding being two separate events on the same parcel of land.
Right. I mean, that's kind
of the way I'm saying it. It's
I just think the language isn't real clear.
It's not real clear. What I think, the way I read this, what it prevents me from doing is saying, hey, I want a permit to have a band next Friday night. And you write me the permit, and then I take advantage of that, and I'm like, hey, I got a permit to have a band, you know, but I'm just not going to stop the band. You know, yes, it was for Friday night, but I'm going to play it, you know, on Saturday night too, and on Sunday night. You know, that's no longer one event. That's multiple events. That's kind of how I hear it.
I suppose you do it the next Friday night.
I mean,
but you're still on the same parcel of land, though. Your same tax ID number on your permit.
Yes, for the same parcel of land, you got the permit for this Friday night, but you decide, okay, I'll do it next Friday night too.
Then I need to go get another permit because it's a different event. But I mean, that's just the way. Okay. At 1 o'clock this morning, when I was reading through it again, it didn't look to me. I don't know. Yeah, I mean, there's a lot of words in there that could be interpreted.
Yeah, there is. And then what happens to Creekside?
Again, to simplify.
Do they have to get a permit every time they have a band?
I don't believe they do.
They don't currently.
Well, then what? When do they have to get one?
All right.
Not every time.
That's a great example to use. What do you foresee that they should do?
Well, what the 10 o'clock time frame is?
That's theirs. They establish that themselves as a respective business.
They have live bands that are playing amplified music on the back porch, but it's absolutely cut off at 10 p.m.
That's much different than 9 p.m.
I mean,
do they have to come
back?
Are
there any regulations to being issued one of these permits outside of properly filling out the paperwork?
No, but the fee will be determined by the Board of Commissioners. So they may have to have a fee. Whether that's $10, $50, there is no set amount right now because there's not currently a permit.
There's not a permit for it.
So we could just say, may obtain a permit, period. If we leave it as they may obtain a permit, then Creekside could have one permit that covers their service all year. It's going to be Friday, it's going to be done at 10 o'clock, and they get a permit. And so could you, and so could I.
Right, but I also think that I mean, whoever's reviewing this permit and issuing the sheriff's department.
Sheriff's department.
Do they have the ability to come to me as a resident that lives on Main Street and I say, well, you know, Creekside plays music until 10 o'clock every Saturday night. I want to be able to play music outside of the noise ordinance until 10 o'clock on Saturday night. Do they have the ability to look at that request, as long as it's filled out properly, and say, no, we are not, you know, for the better good of, I know I said Main Street, but you get what I'm saying. I mean, do they have the ability to say, for the well-being of everyone, we are not going to issue this permit?
6.3.3?
Yeah.
All permit applications shall be accompanied by the following documentation as appropriate. Documentation and notice sent to neighboring property owners. That doesn't necessarily mean property owners have approved it, but if they are like, whoa, I'm not okay with this, you would think that they would reach out to the sheriff's department.
Right.
But I don't.
I mean, I think we simplify that section 5 and say special permits can be obtained. I mean, basically.
And just scratch the allow a one-time event.
If there's a reasonable, if the folks that we have sworn in our sheriff department that we trust, and we trust them to issue, you know, I do, to issue permits responsibly, then we're putting that power to them.
I agree with you completely. I think we don't have a provision that the sheriff department can just say no. We don't have a provision because actually when we were doing, what was the other ordinance video, we like jumped through hoops to make sure that they filled in the permit wrong. Not only did they have to redo it, we had to explain to them exactly why it was wrong and show them why. So like we're on the opposite. It's like we'll do everything we can. But I think this is a case where someone may submit a permit 52 times and they've had tons of complaints and the sheriff, we're saying, sorry, you cannot say no. We need to give them the leeway to make a judgment call.
I mean,
that's what they're there for, right?
Yeah, I mean, that's the thing they have to do to get the permit is fill out the paperwork.
I mean, they can't be denied the quiet permit.
Yeah,
they can deny it, right. But
so I think we do need to have a way for the sheriff department to say, no, you can't have a permit. You can't have a party.
This is excessive. This is unreasonable.
Or we've had complaints many times because you violated the permit or whatever.
Could you add something like at the discretion of the issuing authority?
Yeah.
On showing good cause?
May obtain the permit at the discretion of the enforcement officer?
Yeah, enforcement officer.
I think something like that should be in there. I mean, it's...
We got to trust them. They're the ones that are going to enforce it. So.
I know. I mean, they have to go out and enforce it. They need to be able to determine whether it's enforceable.
And there's nothing worse than limiting a law enforcement officer to do their job.
Yeah. So
it's to tell him, you can't tell. You can't. I mean,
we don't need to tie their hands.
Just so we're clear, the city of Brevard sound ordinance does not apply to the EPJ, according to Daniel Cobb. So your ordinance you have would apply to the music center. So any event that violated the sound ordinance, they would need a special application. So if it's a recurring event, they have their summer series, they would need individual applications at each event. So making it a uniform application is probably the best means.
Yeah.
I would like to think that our music center could fill out one application that says our summer series, and they pay $110 or $100 fine, whatever it is.
Waiver fee.
Yeah, I mean, it's as much as they do for the community, as much as they bring. I don't think it's the limit.
You're saying that the bar ordinance doesn't apply in the ETJ?
It does. The only thing it applies to the ETJ building ordinance.
The only thing it applies to the ETJ is building ordinance.
Special events that anticipate producing loud noise that could be considered disturbing may obtain a permit at the discretion of the law enforcement. At the discretion of the enforcement officer.
I'm gonna write that in.
May obtain a permit at the discretion of the enforcement officer.
And did you maybe think something about the permits would be based, the cost of the permit, make a recommendation to the board commissioners or whatever, that the permit cost be based upon the projected attendance or the capacity of the venue or something like that?
Permit fees are usually recommended by the department that is enforcing them. And it's supposed to be based on the time and impact to the county.
Right.
And so I would hope that the sheriff's department would make a recommendation for a fee associated with it.
Section 7 says it's the board of commissioners that will determine the fee.
Yeah. But that is that all of our fees in our department are determined by the Board of Commissioners. But every year, as part of the budget process, we submit a form of proposed fees. And so during the budget process, the Board of Commissioners can change those fees, but they are the ones that adopt them. For so whether it's the telecommunication tower or the subdivision ordinance or the Mountain Ridge Protection Ordinance.
So that takes care of Section 5 then by changing that one sentence, right?
What about the one-time event on a specific parcel of land?
Special events that anticipate producing loud noise that could be considered disturbing may obtain a permit at the discretion of the enforcement officer.
Period.
I like that.
Read it again, please.
Special events that anticipate producing loud noise that could be considered disturbing may obtain a permit at the discretion of the enforcement officer. Period.
I would say in Section 8, this is all about filling out the form, and if you don't do it right, they're going to help you. After the enforcement, the last sentence, after the enforcement officer has determined the application meets the intent of this ordinance and contains all information required, they shall issue a permit.
Maybe.
Is may, they shall change up to may, or shall may issue a permit at their discretion, or...
Thank you.
I think just putting the may in there instead of shall.
May.
Perfect.
We'll just look at one thing here, just since you brought that up. You're giving them 20 days before the event to submit it. Request. And then you need to give them 30 days to go fix it. So they're going to be 10 days packed. I mean, that needs to be, you need
said you don't.
I would think you would want it submitted early enough that there would be time to fix it if there was a problem.
I see what you're saying, but it doesn't, so the 20 days says it has to be 20 days prior.
Yeah.
Then this is saying, the law enforcement officer may allow the applicant 30 calendar days, but they can make the changes within one day.
Or they can submit it.
Allowing the officer to say, you know, you need to get this fixed in 30 days, or you got to start your application over.
And it's at least 20 days, so they can submit the permit 2 months in advance, or
him saying, you know, like, I'm not going to keep this permit going forever for you. You know, you got 30 days to get it fixed right, bring it back, or you got to start it. That is
the language that's in all of the ordinances that we have, that we've updated since 2014.
Okay.
Just for your information.
It's right or wrong.
Right or wrong. It's in there.
And that was the attempt to make everything consistent on the ordinances. Yeah. Consistent wording. Where are we, Sandy?
I don't know. We didn't discuss permit application, Section 6. We jumped ahead.
I think we mentioned it, and most everybody said they were good with it, right?
Very good.
Section 6.
It's pretty straightforward.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. All right. So we're okay with 7?
Somebody said something a little bit earlier about saying how many people they expect to be there. Is that...
Yep, Alan, you know,
Alan was saying something based on... events with a certain number of people attending.
That's how we operate it in Henderson County, is to, I can't remember the term you used, of a hubbubaloo, where it's a large event like a concert as opposed to a small wedding. To distinguish between those two, we placed attendance. So you would register the event as a small event, medium event, or large event based on the number of attendance that
you expect.
They expected. Now, you said that you were going to have 250 attendees, and you turned out to have 3, your permit wouldn't be valid. You'd be in violation of the ordinance in that case. But and then there were different restrictions based on the size of the event. So it gets much more complicated, but that's how they address it when you're talking about large-scale concerts and things of that extent.
But if you were to have more people than what your permit called for, and no one complained about it, it would be a moot point.
I mean, the whole thing is a moot point unless it's a complaint.
Yeah,
complaint-driven ordinance.
And once the...
What happens to... How do you define small versus large, and what happens if small turns into large, or that's what you said, by numbers?
It's by numbers, so I think a small event was anything less than 100 people. I think a meeting event was anything less than 250 or between 100 and 250, and then anything over 250 people is considered a large event, and the restrictions increased per event. So I would think
the restrictions would get less per event, because if you've got 1,000 people of our community, it's obviously a bigger event. More people are taking advantage of it, which means it's more encompassing of our entire county. So we'll let you play music until 11.
When I said restrictions, I mean, I think that there was a day period per parcel for the large events, so you weren't having large scale concerts in neighborhoods every other day.
Okay. But the Little Cedar Mountain thing, you know, would be considered small, and we'll let you do that every weekend. You don't have to come get a new permit every weekend.
That would definitely be a small event.
Well, we don't have. I mean, from what I've seen, there's no language of medium, small, or large, and I think that's getting...
That's starting to pull well.
Joey won't get to see this go into fruition if...
And you're
so curious.
She's not
going to
see the end of it
anyway. I'm sure. I'm sure it would be cool. I know it's one day better than tonight.
Henderson County is such a large county compared to us.
Yeah.
Not exactly.
It's 220,000 compared to 40,000.
Yeah, yeah. I can't see the sheriff's department going to all these events and counting heads. You know, it's just. How does anybody else feel about that?
Yeah, we don't need to get too big for our bridges yet.
Correct.
That kind of triggers something in my mind. I suppose some guy or some organization has a really large event somewhere out in the county where there's pastures and that sort of thing. Think about the vehicle situation,
parking,
what they're going to do, and the refuse, and the sanitary, and all of that, and there's nothing. Maybe that's a different.
It's a different permit.
Yeah.
The mass gathering permit and the approval from the fire marshal.
Yeah, the fire marshal.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
It's too bad we can't go through permits and then at DuPont on weekend.
Seriously, man.
I think that qualifies as a mass gathering.
I think there's like 10 million people there last year.
Where are we, Sandy?
Okay, we're at Article 9, Violations, Penalties, and Enforcement.
Does the music center get a permit? You don't know. That would be the sheriff.
There's currently not a permit.
Required.
Yeah.
So it's not annexed, is it?
I don't know.
Okay, that's the only other thing where it might be applicable to the city ordinance if it's been annexed, being that close. But I'm not certain. I'm sorry. I haven't looked at the map.
We need to check into that.
But either way, anything inside the ETJ is applicable to this ordinance. Just for the board's information.
Okay. Okay, penalties. Would you be okay with that short introductory paragraph sentence? Criminal penalties.
I'm good with 9.1 and 9.11.
So
what I'm getting out of reading the violations and everything is that you're looking at two separate types of violations, one of which is criminal and one is 1.3, and then beginning on 9.2, you're going into civil penalties based on a compliance order for a continuing violation, mm-hmm. as opposed to the first one's a one-time, like a one-time thing. Just make sure I understand.
So you took that out.
I'm not a...
I'm not talking about the one-time permit thing. I'm talking about somebody's out there running their onboard midnight. And you write them, they get a citation. Whereas, and that goes through this criminal portion. And then over here, you got somebody who's for the when they issue a compliance order, that's a continuing violation of something that's.
Well, a good example of that would have been the racetrack.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
off Whitmire Road.
Right,
and that ended up as a civil suit.
But that would not be considered a criminal. So would they be charged criminally and civilly? Is my question. I'm just trying to understand this.
Yeah. I know the deputies went out there a number of times.
Well, I know they did. My son was one of them. But
and I think it became a civil issue. And it started out as a criminal, and it went through the courts as a civil.
Right.
The racetrack did, if I'm remembering correctly. But
so it's going through both courts, in other words. Civil court and criminal court. Okay.
An individual who's found in violation of this ordinance may be subject to a civil penalty.
Now, Joy, all of this in Section 9 pretty much came straight from the Sheriff's Office, right?
This is how the current noise ordinance is written, except for that one underlying portion on page 6. When we asked the Sheriff what they wanted us to focus on, they didn't say anything about the penalties.
If this came from them, then I'm kind of like what John was saying. We got to rely on them to know what to put in here. Penalty-wise.
I'm not commenting much on this, not because I don't care, but because a lot of it's above my, real under.
I agree, yeah.
Yeah. I do remember the one sheriff that came in and taught one of the problems he said is that they, he used a lot of the bars and restaurants as an example, said they know how to beat the system. They're supposed to stop their loud music at, 9 o'clock or whatever. So we go out and write them a ticket at 10. Well, there's some saying about they can't write more than one ticket within a 24-hour period of time. And he said, so as soon as they got that one ticket, now they can play till 3 o'clock in the morning. If they pay their $50 fine, they can play till 3 o'clock in the morning. And there's nothing the sheriff can do about it. And I think that's what this is addressing, is that now, you've offended it multiple times.
Yeah, he goes back 3 times.
Well, if they get the warrant and all that, they can issue it. I mean, they'll have arrest powers out there if they get the warrant from the magistrate. I mean, if it continues all night long and people are calling, then they can do something about it, according to this.
Just FYI, we're all trying to, seems like, protect the music center. They are under, Keith Arbogast said they are under city jurisdiction. They are annexed.
They're annexed, okay.
Yeah, so they have city sewer and water, and they are annexed. And then I think he got really nervous. He said, are we on the agenda? I was like, no, we're trying.
You could have had a little fun out of that, John.
Yes, you so are. I think, that... Yeah, so we don't have to really worry.
I think we've been spot zoned once a long time ago.
There's several areas that have been spot zoned.
Yeah, it's like the wind makes it up there.
Right.
Yeah, they're actually in the city. Stuff in between this.
Sonny, I'm good. Just for the record, I'm good for everything on page 7.
Did everybody else get a chance to read through it?
pretty straightforward. Do we need, did California's Sheriff's Department got a look at this to see if we're on track?
I asked them to review it in March. They have not seen the most recent version. I would recommend that we advertise and try to get some public input on the noise ordinance next month before we send it to the Board of Commissioners. That way we can gauge whether there is anything that the public may be for or against. Before it goes to public hearings, we can address it, if that's the case, if it's applicable. And so by doing that, we can invite them to come to the July meeting and have the opportunity for the sheriff to really have a month to review it and see if they have any concerns. And so if you're happy with where it's at now, then let's try to get as much input as possible. Does that sound like a plan?
Yes.
Does that normally mean that, like, we have the public hearing and someone who understands this thing well, hopefully better than all of us do, presents it to the public in here, and then we open it up for questions?
That will be my job next month. We'll probably have Misty look at it between now and then.
Yep.
Unless it's Jason's job in August.
Unless it's pushed off till August when Jason presents. A staff member typically would present this.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And would we make this available to the public before that?
Yes.
Right. This would be available to them. They go on the website or something and print it off.
If you go to planning.transylvaniacounty.org and you go to advisory boards, the planning board has a whole web page, and it has the ordinance that you're currently looking at.
Okay, so they can
so that I will be updating this based on your comments tonight, making a PDF of it and putting it up there.
And the advertisement to the public would say how to get to that, tell them where to go to read it.
And our home page currently has the Calvert Housing Workforce Development Request for Proposals. That ends this week, and so I can replace that with the noise ordinance. So it's on the home page when you go to the planning department. We can also ask IT to put it as a news item. Planning board requests public input on noise ordinance.
I think the easier it is to find, and the less clicks you have to do to get to it, the better.
It just depends on where people enter our website from. You know, whether they go to TransylvaniaCounty.org or they go to planning.transylvaniacounty.org. And see,
John, whenever we, as a planning board, have public input and finalize everything before we send it to the commissioners, the commissioners appreciate that input because they know the I's have been dotted and the T's crossed.
I agree totally with that. The only thing, I guess, I think the more, let's say, you know, 40 people come to this public hearing thing,
be a miracle.
Well, regardless, if only five come, if those five people have read through this before, they're going to then that public hearing is going to go smoother. They're going to come in here knowing what their questions are already, knowing what their concerns are already, and they're going to know how to, you know, present those concerns, and they're going to be able to, you know, be heard better. Whereas the first time they hear it sitting in here and it being presented to them, I think it's going to be chaotic. That's the only reason I'm saying the more people we can get it to and the easier it is for them to see it, the better. I guess, does that make sense?
Yeah.
The public is pretty well informed when they show up. But how do we, unless they go to the website, how do we publicize this?
Transylvania Times, an ad in the Times.
Okay.
You guys can share it. You say, hey, the planning board would like public input if you know of anyone who wants to come.
Which section of the paper is that?
It depends on how we submit it. If it's a public notice or a legal notice, then it can be in legals. If we submit it as just an ad, then it can be anywhere the paper has room to put it in their design, and it's not usually in the back of the paper.
What do you find is more successful in getting people in here?
Word of mouth.
Us letting people know.
Or staff letting people know, or someone hearing about it and then letting people know. Word of mouth. We have tried electronic ads in the times. We have tried public notices like legal ads, and we have tried just the normal block ad. And having the electronic ads did not increase applications for advisory boards or attendance at meetings. And so there's an extra expense to do it in all forms. And so as planning board, you can request one form or all of them as you see fit, or we can just put it as a block ad and hope that that people see it, and put it on our website. And often our news items, if they're on the Transylvania County website, go automatically to Facebook. And so there's that, by putting it on the news item of the county.
Well, any or either one of them is meets legal notice requirements.
It would be a public input request, not a legal public hearing. The Board of Commissioners will hold the legal public hearing that would be required by the legal notice. The Planning Board, because we're inviting them to a regularly scheduled Planning Board meeting and asking for input, it would just be public input meeting. It wouldn't, in a normally regularly scheduled advisory board meeting.
Okay.
Different. Slightly different.
I guess I think we ought to advertise it as widely as possible. Then maybe we can get 4 or 5 people.
So electronically and paper?
I think so, yes.
Okay.
Somebody else
has so we don't have anything to lose. We want people's interest.
That's what I'd say. Just like he says, get more people here. And you know, we seldom have people come, but maybe there'd be enough interest if we push it to get some people here to find out what they think.
I definitely think word of mouth is a big one. That's been the most effective for me, anyway. So.
Yeah.
Spam all your friends on Facebook.
Do we ever, as a planning board, for things like this, do we ever use that We Are Brevard or the Brevard Facebook page?
We're not Brevard. We can't.
But if we're trying to reach people, I mean,
I would think so.
That We Are Brevard is not just a city limit. It's not the only people that look at that are not just people that live in the city limit. It's people, everyone in Trent, even though I live in Penrose, I meet somebody, I tell them I'm from Brevard.
Yeah.
I mean, we can certainly.
We personally could do that.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. I mean, right, Jordy? I should add the thing.
If you put it frankly, of this is the proposed revisions to the noise ordinance.
Or just, can we say, hey, there's, we're reviewing the noise ordinance at this planning meeting, coming to the planning meeting.
Yeah.
There's no space back here.
If you're interested in public input.
Then we'll get all sorts of people.
Oh, yeah.
Be careful with
you. Free for all. I'm not going
to let you. I mean, I'd love to see, you know, Jamie, I'd love to see a couple hunters look at it, a couple, you know, outdoor enthusiasts, whether it's, you know, mountain biking, dirt biking, whatever, look at it. And if they have any questions, some farmers look at it. People that recreationally shoot guns, and I mean, that's the more across the board that represents our county that can look at it. Businesses, the Reed Ranch, can look at it and see if they, you know, then.
Different county.
Yeah, they're in Henderson.
And Oscar Blues is City of Brevard.
That is City of Brevard.
It goes up to Coosa Red. It goes up to Acosta Road.
But those people I mean, what I'm saying is the individuals there, they might live out in the county and they are still a part of this county and they can have input on the county that they live in and the county that their city is in.
Yes, absolutely. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And they may have good input.
I'll also send it to the Ag Advisory Board because they were interested in learning more about it, making sure that agriculture was...
I think they'll be satisfied with the agricultural component.
They can't complain much.
Get used to it. It's going to happen.
Okay.
Although I think it's... I mean, I agree. I'm just saying that. Yeah.
We good on the noise ordinance? We got to ratify the... Old business, annual report update.
The annual report that you all got to see was sent to the Board of Commissioners. The Board of Commissioners received it, and we are waiting to see whether they would like a presentation or not. They're still dealing with budget, so they're focused on the budget, but we may hear back that they would like the chair or staff or a combo to provide a presentation.
And Sandy, you caught a few little things in there that...
Yep.
Yeah, it was good.
Okay. So we're still waiting to hear. All right, new business, planning and community development update.
So, Jamie provided a little bit of the update prior to the beginning of the meeting, the business meeting. She shared that Jason Stewart was chosen as the planning and community development director, and I have given my 2 weeks' notice, which is why Alan will be being that bridge between the two staffs. So that is the update from the staffing perspective. But in addition, there is no update on the bike plan or Cedar Mountain Small Area Planning Committee because of the budget and other agenda items on the Board of Commissioners. The department will be assisting the Economic Alliance with the administration of a grant from the Appalachian Regional Commission, ARC, to extend sewage from Rosman to Gaia Herbs. And so that is one of the items that is coming on the docket. Jamie mentioned some of the others, the infrastructure, the Cedar Mountain Small Area Planning work, and the merging of the Transportation Department with the Planning Department. So there's a lot of movement going on. There's a lot of movement in the planning and community development department. If you have any questions other than that, I'm happy to answer them.
Is your position being eliminated?
No, it is not.
What did you say, Sandy?
Is Gloria's position being eliminated?
No. I am... moving on to seek opportunities for promotions and expanding my skills. So,
as Joy mentioned, I will stay in and assume a hybrid Joy position while maintaining my responsibilities as a budget management analyst to help Jason with my experience as a planner until they do find a replacement for Joy.
What's behind the merging the two departments? I fail to see the synergies on there.
A lot of departments, the planning departments across the state now have moved toward a joint transportation and economic development planning department. A lot of the planning merges, especially when you talk about infrastructure. So working with department administration, working with regional councils for transportation planning, it helps facilitate that planning. It also allows staff to cross-train so that in times when the planning department, economic development staff the store staff, the transportation staff can step in and help with day-to-day customer service, etc.
It also helps when the transportation department, which provides transit service to county residents, they know where large developments are taking place so that they can have a long-range view of where transportation services may be needed in the future. So they can plan years out. Without that, there's less communication between the departments. So by merging it, all staff have more information and can plan more.
That makes sense.
That's awesome.
This is too in-depth of a question. I can ask somebody individually later. I can go ask Joey during work. But can somebody quickly sum up what our Transylvania County Department of Transportation is?
What did I do?
Yeah, but I mean, you just mentioned like the vans that I see.
The vans that you see.
Is that all that it is?
Yes.
Okay. And I don't mean that like to mean. Is that all
that's
that
a
it
good
is?
Point.
I'm just curious, like,
the transportation department provides an on-demand service. People can call, provided they call at least 24 hours in advance, to request a ride for medical, shopping, doctor's appointments, school. They can request a ride from the van. If there's availability, if the van is available at the time that they would like it, they are able to receive a ride. There are issues with getting in some of the more remote areas where the transportation department contracts with Brevard City Cab, so that the large van is not going up 215 to pick up one person. But there are a lot of funding streams that help seniors and disabled individuals to afford minimal cost.
Do we have one van?
Three with two in the wings. That's my understanding. Three vans with two, so if one gets a flat tire, we have another reserve van that we can use.
There's three regularly being operated.
Yes.
Can anybody use that service?
That's my understanding. Yes.
So I could use it.
Yes.
In the city, doesn't matter. Anybody in Prince County can.
Mm-hmm.
And there's no limit to how often. If the van's available, it can take me to work every day.
Yes.
I mean, I've seen those vans, but I've never really known what they did or what they did.
Right.
I had a bad experience with it when I had my knees replaced. I needed a one-time ride to physical therapy when I first came home from the hospital. I called a week in advance and was told I would have to be picked up at 9:30 and dropped off at 10:30, and my appointment would have to occur between those times on a Tuesday.
Interesting.
That's been 3 years ago. Almost 4 years ago.
It's hoping to go.
Well, after hearing what they do, I'm at a loss as to how the two departments. I thought maybe they were doing planning and that sort of thing, and I don't see that in what they're doing.
Again, a big benefit to it is the cross training. So with one 3-person department and one 2-person department, having the flexibility for the departments to work together to cover different aspects of customer service is really beneficial. But they're with the regional planning organizations, there are some transit planning discussions that someone that's not involved with our transit system would then be involved in, now will be involved with, and will be much more informed and able to provide information and take information back to the county that will hopefully help us better provide that service and improve the infrastructure that the transit system provides.
And it would just be something that would provide a better accountability for funds and funding?
Other procedures are being put in place for that as well, but yes, I mean, ideally the more people that are aware of how an organization, how that is operated, the more eyes to monitor to make sure that it's being operated correctly.
Okay, is there any other new business?
one thing to think about as a group is the next ordinance to be looked at or the next large project. With the Cedar Mountain small area planning process anticipated to begin in the fall, you may want to see, do we really want to start another ordinance while the small area planning process is in? The chair will be working with the new director to determine that, but just be aware that there will be discussions on the next ordinances to be considered.
Okay.
So.
Any board members want to make a comment?
Yes. Alan, we appreciate you filling in tomorrow. Joy is away. I do not know Jason Stewart coming in. I'll get to know him. But I'm going to say this out straight out. I am greatly disappointed that our existing planning officer did not get that position, because there is a certain thing to be said for continuity.
Amen.
And just bringing somebody in from outside to get quote unquote new ideas and a fresh perspective is not always right. I worked with the federal government before I went with the Forest Service, and I got moved around North Carolina. And, oh, we got to bring in somebody new because nobody local enough is good enough to do the job. I've heard about you and who you are, and I know you're sharp, or you wouldn't be here. Jason is obviously, or that's his name, yeah, Jason, he obviously has credentials, but I think this lady right here has credentials, and she's got the experience that would help propel this board forward. And Joy, I just want to tell you right now, I'm saddened to see you leave.
Thank you.
I hope, on a personal note, that that's the right decision for you.
I hope so, too.
But it hurts that our regular person was not selected.
I couldn't agree more. I don't understand the necessity of bringing someone in. They've got to learn the area. They've got to transition into the community, into the culture here. Joey's here. And as I said earlier, she's been very professional, very knowledgeable. I don't understand it. Fortunately, it's not our decision.
Well, it's that management thing that new people, fresh ideas. Well, we're dealing with issues that are ongoing in the county. And like you said, new people are going to have to learn. So it's going to put us back a little bit.
I can tell you that I went through a situation in a large corporation where we had new ideas from the CEO, and he was finally taken to lunch. We got a new CEO because the new ideas were raping the company. So,
well, I'd just like to say I want to thank Joy personally for the help she's given me over the last 4 years on different boards and committees. And we've crossed swords more than once, but you have always done your very best to give me the best information you had, and I really appreciate that. And I have come to have great respect for you and your expertise in this job, and I think Transylvania County is losing a very valuable resource. And I hope someday, as your career progresses, you come back in a position where you can make another impact on this community in a positive way.
Joy, I'm really sad to see you go. It's been a pleasure working with you on this board and joining Historical. I've known you for a while now, so. Alan, it's been great to meet you. Looking forward to see what Jason has to offer, but I have to mirror what everyone else says here. Welcome to you guys, to Rick and John, to the planning board.
Yes.
And I'm sure
importantly, this guy and I served on the city board together.
Well, we had a wealth of experience.
But it was fun.
I think I remember telling you maybe on the street as I was looking at some jobs. I mean, one of the there was someone that that I leaned on a lot for advice on joining this, but I told Joey how impressed I was with the way that she runs this. I feel like she runs this meeting and conducts it and keeps it in reins and corrals it and brings things back. And the, I mean, I was thoroughly impressed with the way that you handled your position, and I think I told you that, and I'm really, really disappointed that I don't get to serve longer with you. I was excited. I mean, I really, really was. So.
Joy is very articulate with her wording and chooses her words very carefully. The thing that I'm disappointed about is the selecting officer did not bother to ask this board what we thought about the planning board director. And that bothers me.
Well, just to say, to show a little bit about her expertise at the bicycle meeting in Little River, which was a fiasco and a lot of ill will, she managed to charm Tommy Shipman, which says a lot.
That's what you're saying, Joey?
Yeah.
Oh, I remember. I was telling you, I was one of the things you did that's so impressive to me in talking about the bike plan, and that one that I came in there were several, is that in every comment you made, there was, you know, an awesome poker. She just did her job. She did not put her opinions in it. You couldn't tell in the way that you corrected something or in the comments that you made or the way you reined conversations back in what your opinions were, and that was really impressive. So I was looking forward to working with you.
You know, you just see it around the county so many times. You know, the people that have been working in these departments for years and years and years never get selected. We always got to bring somebody in from the outside. I don't understand it.
I don't either. And every time you start over, you lose ground.
Yeah.
And now we got to train somebody else.
We need to train somebody.
It'll
be great, Lucas. I've only known you for 2.5 years, but in that time, I've come to really appreciate your knowledge. You just, Mr. Hall said, you don't express your opinion, but you get that information out there that we need to make good decisions. I have to keep in touch with us now. You doing?
Yeah.
Or if you need a reference or something.
I've accepted another position. I have had references that I have really appreciated, but I'm in a good spot.
Can you still live here?
No. So me and my family will be moving.
Yes.
Thank you.
The other side of the coin is, person's got to watch out for themselves.
Absolutely.
A lot of times the local units are not watching out for you, so Joy watched out for herself. Whoever gets her is going to be a winning organization.
Yep.
And we lost. Now, nothing against Jason, because he may be all right, but I don't know him.
Yeah.
I mean, I honestly don't know him.
No, I
and
don't.
Alan, I know you'll feel the bill and all that, but you and Jason are not Joy. And we've gotten used to working with her, and it's been said at this meeting so many times, this is one of the most pleasant boards to work with anywhere in Transylvania County.
And effective.
And did you see tonight the interaction that everybody had? We discuss things and don't make off-the-wall recommendations without everybody's input. That's what's so wonderful about this board. And we couldn't even be asked who we wanted.
And whether we agree or not, we come together in the end. Well, Joy,
I'm
well done, Joy. That's all I can say.
Please put all this in the minutes.
Motion.
Send a special copy to the county commissioner.
I cannot take it.
Can I have a motion to adjourn?
Send me.
Sorry.
think everybody's still stunned at the voice leaving. We ain't got up yet.
Yeah, not everyone said aye. Is the motion to adjourn?
We need to vote.
You don't need to vote on a motion to adjourn.
All in favor.
You just need to stand up.
But you don't need to stand up.